And oh, I'm done. I'm done with him. She looked up, and I'm done with you. Because you haven't answered my prayer. How many think God's heard that before? Right? It doesn't bother him. So the story, and I won't go long with the story, but the story was that about 2 weeks later, he got gloriously saved. And he got saved at work. And so she's going, and she didn't turn around right away because when she said, I'm done, she started doing some things she shouldn't be doing and acting some ways she shouldn't be acting and, you know, all of that and let the character thing slip. But God got a hold of her too. See, she was impatient and reacted out of the impatience after 13 years. Some of us have been praying for things for a long time, but we need to have endurance. We need to begin to practice endurance. We need to practice, I'm sticking with this until the end, Lord. I'm believing for my kids. I'm believing for my parents. I'm believing for my brother. I'm believing for my sister. I don't care what it looks like. I'm with this. And I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what. See, I'm living for Christ on purpose. He said, that's the kind of guy that we're looking for. And we'll see in a minute, that's the same that we're looking for in women also. It says, verse 3, it says, and the older women likewise. In other words, everything I've just said applies to women too. It applies to all of us, right? Likewise, they should live the same way. They should be patient. They should be loving. They should have faith. They should be living their lives on purpose. Come on. Likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, it's amazing to me that, and I've seen this so much, especially in our culture, when we're reading the Word of God, we always read it with caveats. And by this I mean, Lord, you know I'd be a better husband if my wife was just a better wife. And what we're saying is because of her behavior, I have an excuse not to live like you want me to. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, husbands, so love your wives as Christ loved the church. If they act right. No. That's my job, is to love my wife, whether she acts right or not. But the other part of that says, and wives, see that you honor, you reverence your husband as well. And it's like, well, I'll honor him when he's honorable. Right? I'll respect him when he earns it. And we take the Word of God and we put conditions on it when, as yielded vessels to God, we have to say, no, Lord, my job is to honor my husband. My job. And in doing, the practice of doing it will let others, especially younger people in the faith, see what you're doing and see that this is the way to do it. So again, it's not just what you say to them. We can have a class. You know, we could have older women teaching younger women, these are the 7 steps to having a happy life and all of that. Well, that's fine, but if you're not doing that, then your authenticity shines greater than your speech. And so we have to take the Word of God and say, Lord, I need to apply this to my heart, whether anybody responds to it or not. If I am the only one, I'm going to be that one. Come on, does that make sense? Now let's go back up here and look at this. Older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. Now, I have to be careful, but I'm not going to be careful. It's not okay for a women's group, because they're just with the ladies now, to speak and act in such a way that doesn't honor Christ. It's not okay for a men's group. Okay, it's just the guys so we can tell some dirty jokes. No. No, but yet that's kind of... Well, we're just being real. No, you're being worldly. You're being fleshly. And that's not okay. Why? Because what you're doing is you're teaching younger people or those who are looking at you something that's not right. I didn't say you have to be perfect, but you have to be striving for what God's called you to be. He said, be holy, for I am holy. I don't know that there's any wiggle room in that. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, I understand it takes His holiness to make me holy. But because I know who I am, I need to begin to strive or live on purpose, shooting for a lifestyle that's an example to people instead of an excuse for them to live the way they want to live. Thank you for your enthusiasm tonight. Listen, it's so incredible. And verse 4 again, that they may admonish younger women. I think this applies to men too, but it's like my example should be such that when I see somebody younger doing something, especially younger in the Lord, doing something that they shouldn't do, that I don't just say, well, you know, God will deal with them. No, I have to say, wait a minute. That's not okay. Let me just give you an example. You're at a women's meeting, and somebody gets up, or a men's meeting, it doesn't matter, and this person begins to really rail and badmouth their husband. He's a jerk. He does this. He does that. Well, I'm just letting it know to get my feelings out. There's a place for that, but if it's carried on too far, wait a minute. Older women have to say, you know what? You're dishonoring your husband right now. And that needs to stop. If you want to talk one-on-one so that we can pray, but I will not listen to railing accusations against your husband. Same way with a man's men's group, and well, you know, the old lady, you know what she did, yet, you know, all of that kind of talk, and you go, no, stop that right now. Stop that right now. First of all, she's not an old lady. She's a gift from God to you. Right? And you take the Word of God and you use the Word of God. This is how we're supposed to be act. You're supposed to be loving your wife, not putting her down. You're supposed to be treasuring. Do you get what I'm saying? And this type of thing can apply to everything. Are we living our lives on purpose for Christ and living our lives as such that it can be held up as an example? This is how you do it. That's a pretty heavy responsibility, and I can't do that by my own strength. But I can cry out to God every day and say, Lord, help me. And Lord, if I've done anything that's not honoring to you, help me to fix that. If my heart's not right, change my heart, God. But I'm not going to go to you about somebody else until I've gone to you about me. Glory to God. Watch it again. Likewise, exhort the young, excuse me, that they admonish young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, I didn't write that. But it's in there. Right? Should a wife obey their husbands? Yes. Yes. They should honor them and respect them and submit to their authority as the head of the house. Now, I'm not saying that's a blanket statement. I mean, if you're married and your husband is telling you to, you know, go murder somebody, of course you don't do that. But oftentimes, it comes down to, Lord, I have to trust you that you knew what you were doing when you put him as the head. And again, I'm not saying you don't have input. Let me just give you an example. Renita and I, when we went full-time with the church, I just coming out of the shipyard, but I hadn't left yet, and we thought, well, if we're going to move, we need to move now while I still have the credit rating and the job history. And so we made the move, and so we were looking around. It was in 1997, and there was a place that Renita just loved. I mean, she just loved it. And it was a nice place. But then we found the place that we sold to Donnie, but we currently live at, the property that we live at right now. And I just, in my spirit, I said, because I had so much peace when I went on this piece of property, I said, this is it. But in her heart, she wanted the other place. I mean, the other place had a koi pond that was right outside of it. It had a big barn with pasture, and it was a nice place. But this is the place that I knew that we were supposed to be. And we talked about it. We discussed it. She gave me her opinion, but I said, no, we're going to do this one. And she had to submit to that. And she'll tell you to this day, she's so glad she did. Because that's the place we were supposed to be. See, what's my point? My point is this, that we have to go by the Word of God and not by the world's view of how things should be. Right? In the church, older women are supposed to be teaching younger women how to submit to their own husbands, how to treat them with respect, how to honor them, right? And God is so smart. I said, God is smart. Why? Because women, for the most part, and again, these are blanket statements, but I think they hold true 99.9% of the time. If a woman feels love, she's happy. If a man feels respected, he's on cloud nine. But what we want to do is we want to fix them by teaching them how to love us or how to respect us rather than doing our part and let God doing His part. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand. You know, he did this, he did that. There's some days, and I probably should be more forceful with this. Well, they're not here, but let's talk about you. For the last 20 minutes, you've disrespected him. For the last 20 minutes, you haven't loved her. Right? How about let's work on you doing your part? And then leave the judgment of that up to God. Well, what if he doesn't? Well, that's not on you. What's on you is to obey what God told you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Glory to God. Watch this. Verse 7, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptible. In other words, the foundation of good teaching is right living. If you don't have the right living, even if the teaching is good, at some point, that teaching is going to make people stumble. Right? Come on. And so, the integrity, I love this. Integrity, what is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing when nobody's watching. Or doing the right thing because it's the right thing. I remember I worked for Puget Sound Naval Shipyard two different times, but the first time I was leaving, and if you know anybody that works at the shipyard, they gave you these black pens to write with, right? But it says on them, property of the U.S. government, right? But you got these black pens. Well, you come home, right? You got one in your pocket. So pretty soon you got a box of them, right? And you got other things from there. And everybody does. I mean, it's just not even that big a deal, right? But the reality is, I remember, you know, my last few days, I saw that box and I said, you know what? And it was the Spirit of God putting it on the side. You need to take those back. You need to take those back. Why? Because your integrity is involved. Let me tell you one more shipyard story that I've told before. But I was a supervisor, and I had this one guy working for me, and he came, after lunch he was supposed to go out in the afternoon and do this job, and he started arguing with me about the paperwork and about doing this, and this wasn't right, and that wasn't right, and this wasn't right, and I got a little angry, and I finally said, just go out and do the damn job. Not like me, right? I don't use that. I really don't. And so it hurt my spirit. And after he left, it hurt my spirit. So it's getting to be closing time or you know, going home time. And I got on this. I said, I mentioned his name. I said, please come to the office. And he came into the office and he says, yeah, what's up? I said, I owe you an apology. And when I gave him the apology, he thought, what are you talking about? See, to him it wasn't a big deal, but to me it was a huge deal because my witness for Jesus was compromised. What if we started living our life out with not wanting to compromise our witness for who He is? Amen? Glory to God. Because on that foundation, then I can, my voice has more authority. My voice has more validity. My voice has, because listen, He doesn't just say this, He lives this. He believes this, and it's working for Him. And He's doing this whether it's right or you know, whether it feels right, whether society likes it, whether anybody likes it or not, He's or she's doing what's right. See, that's the foundation the doctrine should be built on. Does that make sense? Come on. And who's that for? Everybody. It's for all of us. Listen, we can't tell our children one thing and then do something completely different. Right? We can't, well, don't worry, son. Don't worry, daughter. I mean, everything's going to be all right. We just need to trust the Lord. And then while we're spending 4 hours in anxiety over something, come on, we have to be real. It's like, Lord, You said not to have any fret or have anxiety over anything. I'm going to live up to that, Lord, because I want to be who You want me to be. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to be so that others can see me and see that the doctrine that I'm teaching has an effect on making somebody different. Does that make sense? Come on. I think that's good. I think that's really good. Hallelujah. Now watch again. Let's go. Verse 6, it says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Again, teach the young men to live their lives on purpose, thinking the right thing and letting that thinking turn into action of doing the right thing. You know, we need to do the right thing because it's the right thing, whether it's popular or not. Come on. Yeah, you know, I could cheat on my taxes and nobody would probably even know. And I can get a couple thousand dollars more if I just do this one little thing. And you have to go, no, 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 no. I need to be honorable even if nobody else is honorable, because I need to be that good foundation so that my teaching can come through as it needs to. Glory to God. Listen to this. Verse 7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. sound speech that cannot be condemned. The one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Wow! That's our goal, is that people on the outside can't say anything bad about us because we aren't doing anything bad. We're doing everything the way it's supposed to be done. We're being honorable. Come on. I didn't say we'd ever be perfect because none of us will reach that. But we're striving to that. We're living our lives for that being our goal. And again, I'm not doing it to get with God. I'm doing that because I'm with God. In other words, it's not my works that get me there. It's the work that comes through me because I am there. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but watch this. Verse 8 says, sound speech cannot be condemned, that the one who is the opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Verse 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. It's hard to be a Christian employee sometimes. And the servant that's talking about, it was a different economy there. They had lots of slaves and bond slaves and all that. Today, what equates to it is you got a job and you got a boss. It's hard to be a good employee. Why? Because at break time, what do? You sit down with the rest of the employees. Or at lunchtime, you sit down with the rest of the employees. And what do you talk about? Well, you talk about each other, how bad the boss is and what a rotten company it is, and on and on and on and on. It's incredible. But are you going to be one that stands out in the crowd because you won't let any of that stuff come out of your mouth? Again, I it's my story, so it's what I have. I remember being at the shipyard and being at the lunchroom. And man, the lunchroom was a rough place, especially back in the day. This was before, you know, you had to worry about what you said. And man, there'd be stories and things come up and dirty stories and all of that on and on. I said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. So I left the lunchroom and went and ate somewhere else. Had my Bible and I read the Bible. But then I got to thinking, you know, I can't be light if I'm not with the darkness. And so, Lord, help me with that. And so I started, you know, we'd be playing crib at lunch or something, and somebody would start cussing. I said, well, God will help you, but you need to talk to him a little nicer than that. Or I'd say, that's not his last name. They'd say something curse. I said, well, praise the Lord. On purpose, not to be arrogant, not to show up, but to change the atmosphere in the building. And did you know, within 6 months, half of the crew left. They went up to Bangor. And the atmosphere in the whole shop changed. Not that I was trying to prove myself better, but I refused to let any corrupt communication come out of my mouth. I wouldn't cuss. I wouldn't swear. I wouldn't do any of those things to fit in. In fact, I did the opposite. Right? And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to own up to your own mistakes. It's hard. But that's the right thing to do. That's integrity. That is what's putting a foundation under what you're saying. And that's what we need to be. Right? Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Watch this. Not pilfering, I mean stealing, showing all good fidelity that they may adore the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. See, we need to live the doctrine so that it shows up on us when we walk into the room. Something different about you. Something different. And again, it's not because I'm all that much better. It's just because I've come into a relationship with the one who's made me better. And because he's made me better, I want to please him and I want to live for him. And I want you to see a difference in me. It's time for especially the church to quit trying to fit in. not to have an attitude that we're better than, but have an attitude that we're with the one who is better, the one who's the answer. So I can't act differently than what I believe and expect that belief to come through to the people who are sitting with me or who I'm trying to affect. If you're a Christian in an environment and you're laughing or telling the same kind of dirty jokes or whatever it is to the same people, they're going to go, well, who are you? But if you start to stand out because you're living for Jesus on purpose and you're soberly, vigilantly trying to do what's best for Him, then you'll stand out and you'll be able to influence rather than just blend in. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch this, verse 11. I've got to hurry to get through. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Isn't that something? Listen to this again. For the grace of God that brings salvation, the grace of God has come to those who believe. And we'll look at that in a minute in Ephesians. But the grace of God has come to me, and it's come to me for salvation. I'm saved. Jesus is the Lord of my life. God is my Father. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? But watch this. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, on one side of the coin, you could say that it's for all men, but that it's appeared to all men. Watch this. I believe that the grace of God that's come to me should be so apparent that all men see it. In fact, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your place because we'll be right back. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to God. It's not okay for me to be like the world. It's not okay for me to be living for myself. It's not okay for me to be living like I used to live. Especially if God wants to use me to have influence on somebody else. Amen? Look at verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Again, remember, that grace may be appear to all men. So what does that grace mean? That, again, we know that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Or God's unmerited favor. Or the gift that God gave because He wanted to, not because I earned it. It's a gift. It's grace, right? That grace, by grace, I've been saved through faith. Right? What does that mean? God offered the gift, and by faith, by my belief set, I received that gift. Right? There was nothing material, nothing like that. But there was a day when I said, Jesus, You're Lord of my life. And I believe with all my heart that You died for my sins. And I repent of my old lifestyle, and I want to live for You the rest of my life. That was the day that grace came to me, but my faith accepted that into my heart. So grace brings it, but faith receives it. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. God did all the work. But watch this. Let's go on to verse 9. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. But watch this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Works didn't get me there, but once I get there, Christ in me should move on to good works. In other words, my life should be lived out like God is doing something in me, and because of His love that's been displayed in me, I can begin to serve somebody else. And not have to be appreciated, not have to be respected, not have to be accepted, but my acceptance is in Him, and I'm going to serve you because you need that same grace, and I need the difference in me to be apparent to you. I need that gift of grace that's been given to me to be apparent to you. And the way that it's going to be apparent to you is the way that I live my life because I've been affected by that grace. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, go back to Titus. Hallelujah. Verse 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, what? Soberly. All of us, soberly. What does that mean? That means with intention. That means with sound judgment. That means being vigilant to live for Christ. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. You know, there's folks that say, well, you know, God loves you and His grace is upon you so you can live any way that you want to live and God's going to love you anyway. And there's a little bit of truth that in the fact that God loves us no matter what we do. But the reality is once we've accepted Christ and once Jesus is in our life, if we want to have influence on somebody else, if we want to be the foundation, the sound doctrine that can be lived through, then we can't deceive ourselves. This needs to be our goal, that we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. If I've been with Christ, I should reflect Christ. Have you ever been around, or think about this, maybe it's your parents, and you know, growing up and raising kids, well, I'm never going to be like my dad. I'm never going to be like my mom. I'll never do any of that. And then, you know, years go by and you'll be talking to your kid and you think, that's just how my mom talked. That's just how my dad. That's just how, you know. It's crazy. Why? Because that influence was, you were around so often in your formative years that it shaped who you were later. So what I'm saying is the influence that you should have out of your relationship with Jesus should influence who you are so that you act like Him, you talk like Him, and in this present age that you're godly, right? Verse, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from the lawless deeds and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Come on. Are we zealous for good works? Zealot. You know what a zealot is? It's one that's passionate about it and going for it. Are we zealous for that? Are we zealous to live for Christ? Are we zealous to be an example of who Jesus is? Be an example that even though they accuse me, I'm not going to make a railing accusation. Even if they attack me, I'm not going to return attack with attack. I'm going to leave that up to God. But I'm going to live my life out of love for somebody else. Right? It's hard if you're living for yourself, but it's the reality if you've died to yourself and are living for Jesus. Come on. I want to be a church. I want to be a person. I want to be a husband. I want to be a father that has influence on those that God's put in my life. And we all have that circle, whether it be at work, whatever it is. And that influence is absolutely enhanced by you living for Him the way He wants you to live. Glory to God. All right, let's do the last verse and then we'll close for tonight. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority, and don't let anybody despise you. I think we've lost something in the church because we're not speaking the right things. We're not rebuking when things are wrong. We're not saying, hey, listen, brother, I love you, but that's you're out to lunch. The way you acted, the way you reacted, the way you're living for yourself, yet you feel disrespected, get over it. Lay your life down for that person that did, because there was probably something in them that Jesus needs to touch. So you need to give yourself up for Him. Right? Begin to talk like that. Begin to walk like that. Begin to make that your lifestyle in Jesus' name. Amen. How many know that Jesus gave everything for us? Right? He who knew no sin became sin. He became the sin sacrifice. He was up on that cross as the spotless lamb, taking upon Himself all the sins of the world. He did that for me. Then whatever He asked me to do is a very small thing compared to that. And that's how we need to live our lives. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the opportunity to be in Your Word. I thank You for the opportunity to listen to what You're saying. I thank You for the opportunity. God, I ask for Your forgiveness and my slackness in really paying attention to living how You want me to live. And Father, help us to get up tomorrow morning with a different attitude and live out of our new man in Christ Jesus. Live in such a way, God, that it's Your life through us that gives us the power to live godly. Lord, we just thank You for that in Jesus' name. I thank You, God, that every person on the face of this earth is important to You, and there's not one who is less than or one that is greater than. We're all of the same position. So if you're listening to me online or you're here in the room and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you feel like you've failed Him, it's time to just forget all that and just ask Him to take you just as you are, and He'll make you who He wants you to be. But decide today that my foundation is going to be my pursuit of living for God, no matter what the consequences of that are. Thank you for joining us. God bless you in Jesus' name. Ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So talk to Him, ask Him, and then surrender to Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.